Tu cosa fai stasera? Rimani ancora un po'. Sarà questa atmosfera.
Here is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast, and it is 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, Israel, the Holy Land. Today is August 12, 2015, and this is Oli Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are celebrating Great Wednesday with Italian music and some news, the way I see it. You know, we got a great announcement 2 days ago that we have a new announced ambassador to Israel, to Italy, from Israel, and her name is Fiamma Ninistein. She's Dr. Fiamma Ninistein. She used to be a parliament member of the Italian government. And she married an Israeli guy, and now she's the ambassador to Italy from Israel, which is convenient because she's Italian, so she can be there. But the discourse she have, you know, the way she talks about the world and the concept she understand about what is actually going on, it's really interesting, very powerful. She's a woman as far as I see her. I never met her before, but I had a connection with her on some rallies that she took place and the announcement that got my way, as you know, I get all the news as always. And they invited me to be there, and I didn't go. Of course, it's, you know, Italy. It's not like it's you hop in and you know get in the car, but I know that it was phenomenal. People were really, really excited about the fact that she can rally so many people. Now think about it. Europe right now, in the midst of change and the winds of change all over the world, needs to understand the discourse. And one thing that I realized, and I'm seriously, it's not just to say it, and it's not like missions translation like we in the States want to say always. The fact of the matter is people from transcultural level don't really understand each other. And I'll tell you, it takes place in the school where you are ready to talk about something in a way, and the other people are asking it in a different way, and you don't really understand the way they want to talk to you about. It's like an interview that I had, and I tried, you know, 2 days ago, and it's really framed me. And I tried to understand what went on. If I was happy or I wasn't happy. And I was listening to myself, and I realized that he was asking a question, and I was answering in my way of talking, you know, very, very polite and, you know, and globalized. And the fact he didn't get what I said, you know, he was thinking that I was saying stuff differently, and it's a fact that people talk to each other, don't really understand each other, but I think that I made myself understood at the end of the day, because after all, you know, I spoke the language, so I speak the language, I must understand the culture, especially if you're born to one, but I guess that society is you, as they say it. And there are so many things that people have in their life, and they use and they accumulate over the year. And they talk about issue, and every country has its best. And, you know, I wanted to focus on Wednesday on Italian music, on Italy, on the European factor, because that's not to say the least, you know, Europe has a lot to give to the world, and she's wonderful. And there are many things that we, as people of the world, don't miss, don't understand, because they're missing translation. There is no people to tell us what people actually mean when they talk. And, you know, to speak Italian is not easy for many, and to other, the Italian don't speak English. So somebody has to make the connection and from a different side and tell them, you know, Italian people are really, really awesome people. And they are really great because they are polite and they are caring. And they have a respect for history, a respect for art, a respect for love. And I'm telling it because I want them to be understood in a way that I learned to understand them. And the idea that it's not easy to, you know, to understand each other and to forgive each other, you know, the Roman Empire destroyed my holy temple that I would love to see built up again. But we have to forgive them and we have to love them. And our love is really, really unique. So I think that I have all the possibility in the world to help you a little to understand. And I collect some sound bites. Let's listen to what I have in store for you now today.
The Arab Spring has dramatically altered the political landscape across the Middle East, unseating regimes from Tunisia to Egypt and unleashing social upheaval which continues today. The future of the region is not only crucial for Israel, but also its European allies. Today, JN1 speaks to Israel's ambassador to Italy, Naor Gilon, about the key issues and relations between Israel and Rome. How has the recent post-Arab Spring rise of Islamist regimes in the Middle East impacted on international perceptions of Israel's place in the Middle East balance of power?
I think that the real lesson that should be learned is that Israel is really the island of stability in the Middle East. Unfortunately, not everyone saw that. Another lesson that should have been understood is probably that as many people are under the impression that the Palestinian issue is the core issue, destabilizing element of the Middle East. But now we see uprisings that are not connected in any way to Israel.
Many commentators believe that Israel is currently losing the global information war for hearts and minds. What can be done to improve international perceptions of Israel?
Unfortunately, most of the problems that Israel has are connected to lack of information. We have a Facebook of the embassy, for example. On our Facebook, we are not writing about the peace process. We are writing about innovation in Israel, science, culture. So we are touching all the food, all the elements of life that are the normal ones.
International organizations and individual artists are often subjected to pressure from anti-Israeli groups when they seek to visit Israel. What would be your message to anyone subjected to this kind of boycott pressure?
We are very open for dialogue. The idea is come to Israel, have a performance if it's an artist, then speak to the public, speak to the people. You will hear a variety of opinions. There is no one opinion. And this is, I think, dialogue is very important.
Italian politics is notoriously unstable with frequent changes of government. What kind of pressure does this put on efforts to maintain strong bilateral relations between Israel and Italy?
It's a little bit more challenging because if in my term here in 2 years, I already had the chance to work with two prime ministers for short terms, both of them. Challenging because every time a new prime minister is coming, there is a new administration coming with it, new ministers, the whole system is changing.
How concerned are you about the rise of anti-Semitism here in Italy as Eurozone austerity measures hit home?
Every time going gets tough, you see more and more extremism. It's anti-Semitism, anti-minority. We see that in Greece, we see that in Hungary, we see it in different countries. Also in Italy, you see a little bit more, but I would say that here there is strong awareness of the government And they are trying to monitor and to speak against any phenomena of anti-Semitism.
While there have been plenty of political changes in Italy in the last couple of years, relations between Jerusalem and Rome remain strong, and both Israel and Italy are committed to building closer political ties across the Mediterranean in the future. For JN1, this is Josephine McKenna in Rome.
All right, and we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth, and this is Great Wednesday when we have Italian music. To salute everybody, the Italian in the audience, and also my friends in Italy. And the rest of the world can start enjoying it, because it's about time that Italian music goes back in fashion. You know, Italy went up and down in history, from greatness to not so much, and the low part was when Mussolini decided to give alliance to a very, very bad Germany at that time. And we are seeing the return to the West of the Italian government and the coalition that it's getting, and the powerful position that it's placing itself as a balance of power in Europe. Just remember, when you side with the big guys, you know, from the other side of the moon, where, you know, that they are want to destroy, when you side with destruction, you'll be destroyed eventually, because they eat each other up at the end of the day. But now that Europe is evolving, you know, they are making European Union coming, they are calling for each other, they're helping each other up. Maybe there is a new day, you know, for Europe to rise up. But we need to clean Europe. We need to clean Europe from bad things that happened there. And we need to remember that women are being exploited there every day. And there is a new deal in the news that I was trying to pass on, but the research there is really meticulous but long, about the fact of trafficking of women in the European continent. Now think about it. We have a lot of immigrants that are running away from slaughter, being caught by people, of course, and some of them get the misfortune to be caught with the bad guys, and they are going to be exploited. So we need to create some kind of understanding worldwide between the government, between the agencies, to say that we're not going to tolerate this across the border. And even though that, you know, prostitution is legal in many countries in the continent of Europe, there are some that like France that you know, it's against the law, which is great, because it means that you have to respect 52% of humanity. And I don't understand what's legalizing abusing people. How can you legalize them? It's just saying, oh, they want to do it. Yes, of course they want. You know, it's amazing. That quote, and they legalize it, and probably that government was made from most men, and they legalize abuse of women. So I would call all those goody two shoes in those northern states that legalize prostitution, that they are pointing the finger toward, you know, civil rights and human rights. I would think that when you point a finger, two are pointing at you. It's a point, it's a known fact, right? That's what we say in America. When you point finger at me, two are pointing at you. And now let's talk about the Scandinavian when they legalized drugs and prostitution. Come handy, huh? when you drug the women, you can definitely make her feel wanted or whatever. So I would say that we need to make a reunion about, let's talk about this. Let's talk about abusing of women. Let's stop talking about what, you know, Israel needs to go away from one land or, you know, have a country the size of a stamp. And, you know, still you're not happy because you guys have a problem with the God of Israel, which is a known fact. The Muslim at least declare it. The Christian wants to reign. Of course, everyone now wants to reign, you know, the ultimate truth. The ultimate truth is the beginning. The beginning, it's nothing. You know, it's like having the father and the children. Yeah, you can't change the fact we are the custodian of the law of Moses. So now we're keeping it, and you guys are following it the way you want it. In Israel, for example, they had a saying, you know, the other day that, oh, you know, the orthodoxy cannot control religion. Again, it's still Jewish, right? I'm not talking it again. I'm talking about the truth of the law. You know, it's like the law of the land. The Constitution of America is the Constitution. Your interpretation can be challenged, but it doesn't mean that it's stopping the Constitution. So let's talk back to the fact that, you know, the Scandinavian countries or many in the northern atmosphere of Europe really, really don't care much for Israel and Israel. If for some reason they you know, they don't allow prostitution, they don't allow drugs, they have rules that are different. You know, you guys are so modern, so outgoing, that 52% of the population can be abused in any given time, and it's okay. Because once you legalize it, it means that, you know, you'll have to go one by one to ask if they are actually happy with their business or no, let's ask again. How many open actually a business or they work for a man? Hey, come on. We can find the way to undermine your discourse anytime. But you are minding my own right to have a land, to have a stamp by sending me all goons in all different shape. You know, the Palestinians already are tired. They're tired of fighting. They leave. Well, we like each other. We talk to each other. We make friends. Sometimes, you know, we'll help them build if they want. We'll help them have a life. If they want to come business, we do. You know, we just stop fighting. But, you know, now there is ISIS. You know, every single day there is something else. They want to destroy whatever because you guys, of the other side of the moon, of course, the dark side we're talking about, because all the people of light are on the right side. They understand that we are going to live side by side and we're going to have, you know, peace, time, okay? Let's listen to some music, maybe Italian music, and we'll be right back after that.
Notte alta sono sveglio, sei sempre tu il mio chiodo fisso. Insieme a te ci stavo meglio, e più ti penso e più ti voglio. Tutto il casino fatto per averti, per questo amore che era un frutto acerbo, e adesso che ti voglio bene io ti perdo.
All right, we are back, and that was Ancora. It was a Sanremo 1982, if I'm not mistaken, where he was singing it. My God, his name just slipped my mind right now, but it's okay. I'll give it to you in a second. The idea is that we, Eduardo de Crescenzo, he was incredible, incredible. There were great songs over there when I was there. So those are the ones that I'm familiar with. I know that there are other that I grew to love over the years, but I'm reminding everybody from that era, you know, how much fun we used to have. If you never, you know, visit Italy in the summer, you never had fun in your life. Because you have to imagine this. You are, first of all, Rome is packed with tourists. All the Italian are out to the beachfront. They go to the rent houses near the beach. They take from August, you know, from 1st August to the end if they can. And they go with all the family to a house there. They pack the the bedding suit, and they go to the beach. Now, in Italy, the beach front is not like most places that I know, not in America, not over in Israel, of course. The beach front is really cultivated in a way that you can spend the day there. Because, you know, the Italian, they don't go and they spend, you know, an hour there. They need to have lunch, so they bring their lunch. They need to sit down. And if they sit down, they need to take a shower, or they need to be fresh, even that you're on the beach. So the deal is like this. First of all, the one that goes to the beach for a month, so they stay there, they go back in the morning, they go to lunch, and then they dress up nicely. And you have to understand, you go on the beach in the afternoon and in the evening to get ice cream. They all dress up to kill. Nice sundresses, nice, you know, white pants, man, with a, you know, nice shirt, polo shirt, great shoes. There is no flip-flop and island-like kind of moving along that we have on our island that I love so much. It's not the sudden-looking beaches where you go. It's like, okay, let's go to the beach. We'll get a couple of beers and we hang out. No. We are talking a classical being. You need to, they feel like they are princes and they dress up like they want. It doesn't matter. And you know what? It's a lifestyle that I miss a lot. Because, you know, you can get dressed, but right after you look around, you said, you're the only one, you're overdressed, okay, go home now. The idea that I wanted to emphasize is the tradition is to go on the beach and enjoy the summer. And then you go and you meet your friends. And the friends is a friendly atmosphere. You know, there is some kind of competition in the world between the women. In Italy, women really are friendly to each other. It's something that we don't know about much, but the difference is so huge in a lifestyle. Because just imagine, you go and you have fun with the other girl. You don't have to worry about anything because she is your pal. It's not like in the rest of the world they control us and divide us. That's how they do. So they hold the power. In Italy, no, women are really best friends. Of course, they know that they have lovers all over the place. It's not. I guess that they gave up the idea of being suspicious, like they will catch somebody. No, they just are nice to each other, and the fact makes it all worth having friends. And also, I got a lot of American friends, and they are my buddies, and they are great girlfriends, no question about it. But I'm serious, we have a great understanding. However, I want to say it. It's different. It's different. Nothing we can do about it. And the Italian style is to go to the beach, have fun, then they go. Listen to this. They have this closet-looking places that you rent for the day with a key and everything, and they have a chair and a bench and a table inside and a shower. So you go there and you can take a shower on the beach, and it's closed, and then you can change. So you see a woman changing three outfits, three bathing suits on the beach in a day. Because that's the way they are. And then you go to have lunch, you have, you know, you have the foulard, you have the little scarf, and my goodness gracious, and the high heels even on the flip-flop. Hey, God, I can't believe I've been so long gone from there. But I'm still trying to keep, you know, that flavor. Italian flavor never goes away. And it's in the music. And let's listen to another song before we go back and hit you with some news.
Che rivederti ancora adesso un qualche brivido mi dà. Certo che non è più lo stesso e tu puoi non credermi, ma non ti ho scordata mai. Davvero, certo che sto cercando ancora adesso un equilibrio che forse non ho.
All right, and we are back. Ti vorrei rivivere. It's Eros Ramazzotti, a classical guy, a classical Italian music, which is beautiful, and it's been carrying on pretty good over the years. I appreciate him a lot. We have some news, you know, bike news to tell you about, and I wanted not to waste all the time having fun here, because somebody has to watch over what's going on. And I know I reserve one statement of John Kerry. I know that it's not supposed to talk about Iran again and again, but I want John Kerry's position to be heard, because it's worthwhile listening to a gentleman. This senator has been working hard. And now a Secretary of State, of course. But he's been working hard since I remember, 20 years, that he never stopped. So by all means, of course, I'm sure he's having fun sometimes, flying, which I know I like to fly. So at least probably has some kind of enjoyment. But let's listen to this.
Are you kidding me? The United States is going to start sanctioning our allies and their banks and their businesses because we walked away from a deal, and we're going to force them to do what we want them to do even though they agreed to the deal we came to? Are you kidding? That is a recipe, quickly, my friends, for them to walk away from Ukraine, where they are already very dicey and ready to say, well, we've done our bit. They were ready, in many cases, to say, well, we're the ones paying the price for your sanctions. It was Obama who went out and actually put together a sanctions regime that had an impact. I went to China. We persuaded China, don't buy more oil. We persuaded India and other countries to step back. Can you imagine trying to sanction them after persuading them to put in place sanctions, to bring Iran to the negotiating table? And when they have not only come to the table, but they made a deal, we turn around and nix the deal and then tell them you're going to have to obey our rules on the sanctions anyway. That is a recipe, very quickly, my friends, business people here, for the American dollar to cease to be the reserve currency of the world, which is already bubbling out there.
All right. That was John Kerry talking about the American currency. Well, sanctions, I don't know where this idea came from, you know, to sanction the allies. I didn't hear how it came about, but the fact that he is, you know, replying to that means that somebody was talking about it, which doesn't make a lot of sense. John Kerry did have it right. You bring everybody to the table against one country, you force it to come and comply, and then you want to revolt against them because the agreement wasn't to your liking. We need to grow up. And we need to grow up fast, because the agreement is only a condition that we start negotiating on some future events. Because at the end of the day, every accord that you take, every plan that you take, never works the way you think it is from one side, and never respond from the other side. Always there are some, you know, some differences. So the idea is to hope for the best, do your best, and keep the soil, you know, well treated. So it will grow some good seeds. You know, in the future, every time I go to a business plan, I always add to think about the future and about the past and see what's around it. And every time that people are talking and the promising, I know that the promises are always depend on God, because God willing, you never know what will happen. And someday that when we have a great condition, the next day is different. So, and the bigger you are, the more danger you have, because the plan is not that you think that people accumulate. I love the fact that, you know, people talk about accumulating wealth in such a way, you know, and after that it all blows away because some deal didn't go work, and it got the domino effect of all the rest. Everybody knows this. It's just a graph. It's like a heartbeat. The world is in the same economic condition as, you know, emotions are and social are. People are not the stagnant line. There is no one line steady that goes, oh, okay, we are now successful. Now we go successful, and we'll be successful. You know that. You'll be loved, you'll be hated, and you'll be loved, and you'll be hated. It's a pen. It's all the pen. What will happen tomorrow? So just take it easy. Remember, you're never alone. This world was made for you to enjoy, to have fun, to love each other. Just take the time to bless what you have, because the God gifts that you have around, don't take them for granted. That wife of yours, that husband of yours, never take him for granted. Try to enjoy him. And you know what? All those friends that come and, you know, bang on your doors and you come and, you know, have fun with them, just cherish this moment. Because now I'm looking back and I see all this picture of these friends, that they are so far away from me now. They are over the other side of the moon. But I have those great memories that I can remember them with. I can remember the sounds of the music. I can remember the taste of the, you know, the barbecue we had together. We had the fun we had when we went. It's summer. We need to get a break from fighting. And let's take it. And that's something we need to learn from the Italian. Time out is time out, okay? And now we are going to relax. That's it, right? So I'm sure that we have some more songs for you to listen. Not many, because, you know, we need to talk about the rest of the world. But let's listen to this.
Se ci sto bene, sarà perché ti amo. Io canto il ritmo del dolce tuo respiro.
All right, and we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis, and this is Impossible Truth. It's a great Wednesday when we have a lot of Italian music and some Italian information, you know. Talk about one of our beloved countries that give us so much to, you know, and we have to remember that, you know, she's one of the major players in Europe this day. And we're looking back at what, you know, Italian, you know, craft is all about, and we forget that in technology, they are outstanding. You know, they developed so much, and they made so much, you know, over the years, that we just tend to forget that they contribute to the developing of the nation. And the idea that we give them the opportunity, they'll come and play again a major role. And that role is essential because, you know, I remember Berlusconi, which talked about the discontent between Russia and America. And I know that the Italian might be some that can help. Not sure how it's going to work because Berlusconi got in trouble. You know, it's hard to be in play. It's hard to play, you know, it's right all the time, I guess, for many people. But the idea is there was a will, a good will of good intention to help bring together the world. And if the other countries will start, you know, behaving like they get along, maybe the little kids, the one that, you know, always like to fight and between themselves will stop. As we say, whatever the adult do, the children copy. And when you ask, you know, many people to stop fighting, just remember, did you stop fight yourself? Did you give us an example to how the world needs to behave, the big brother kind of thing? Did we actually kiss and made up over the years? I remember Ronald Reagan when he was saying and talking to the Russian premier, and it was great. It was a great conversation. And until today, I still go and I look for that, you know, partnership. And many people think that it's gone and there is a standoff. I think that we need to communicate. You know, we always say that it's nice, you know, in America, like my doctor used to say, Dr. Krishna, you know, speak softly but carry a big stick. So everybody's carrying big sticks this day, but they don't speak softly anymore. They're just, you know, threatening each other. And when you get to a level when you have the badge, you know, the police badge. The police badge needs to be enough for the kid to be on alert. You don't need to scare them. There is no reason to scare them or to wiggle, you know, the bat over or the teaser. There is no reason for that. I spoke to the Minister of Justice a few days last week to get some paperwork on a company that, you know, need to be settled and everything. And I was saying to them, you send me a letter with a little, you know, nasty. And, you know, I'm in very good form. There is no reason for that. And you have the title. You don't need to scare me. You know, by receiving something, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to take care of it because you are who you are. That's what I'm saying. When you have a police car passing by, it's enough. You don't need to threaten. And the people of the world needs to start relaxing that there is a friend when the police come, not else. I grew up with a policeman bringing me home from, you know, from my parents' work. Because they were always, you know, my parents used to work in the police station, and it was awesome. I loved that. And they were friendly. They were my best friends. They were sweethearts. You know, the blue eyes I will never forget. And why I have to, these days I still salute them because they're still my friend, and they look at me weird. Oh, okay. it's not funny. It's not funny sometimes to look, because time change and we are getting old and we are the same. And, living in the South, you also learn you have the tendency to salute everybody, to say, hello, hi, how are you doing? And, you pass by them and you have to say hello. And that's the Southern hospitality. Nothing you can do. It's a stranger. It doesn't matter. You say hello. So when I start saying hello to people, they look at me and say, oh, that's a weird look they're giving you, girl. So I'm trying to pretend, so I'm making a whole reasoning after a while why I say it hello. But then I get those, people of the cloth from my side of the moon that don't answer. And then I get mad. Then I start questioning. You don't answer to my hello? What's wrong with you? Because if you are a man of God, you need to say hello back. That's my rule. All right, sweetheart. So I know I've been talking my mouth all, and there is some more music, some more stuff, but just remember, the Italian time, and we're going to have fun, and I'm going to get the spirit up, and you are going to have a great day, because, life is beautiful. Let's listen to this, and we'll be right back.
Turkey never supported ISIS or any group linked to ISIS. All the leaders of ISIS came from Iraq, not through Turkey, other leaders.
Did you support, have you ever supported the Nusra Front, the yes. Al-Qaeda affiliate?
No, never. Never. We supported only those who escaped from Assad's atrocities, chemical weapons, barrel bombs. This is an unfair assessment and accusation against Turkey, which is there is no ground at all. If there is anybody who has a proof for this, should put this on the table in other country.
You've had a very heavy burden of refugees, no question about that. But of course, there are many who are now coming into the European Union, and quite a lot coming from Syria through Turkey and into Greece. And that's a huge problem for the Greek government.
Yeah, this is a great burden on us. We spent around $6 billion to these refugees in the last 4 years. And nobody is helping us. Only with a small amount, UN branches are helping. Instead of helping Turkey, people are criticizing as if Turkey is responsible for all these refugees.
Well, many do go from Turkey to Greece,
yeah,
don't they?
But then P5 must stop, must take all the measures to stop this war in Syria and to stop the atrocities of Syrian regime and terrorists.
So you blame
Turkey is the victim of all these Syrian crises.
You blame the paralysis in the Security Council?
Yeah, of course, there has not been a strong decision of international community to stop these atrocities. 300,000 people being killed in Syria, they are human beings. If there was a no-fly zone and a safe haven inside Syria, there wouldn't be such a flow of refugees.
So are you going to establish one now?
We will try. And that's still our position.
Can we just be very specific on that? So you're talking about a no-fly zone, a safe zone?
A safe area, what we call now.
Safe from whom?
From Daesh and from Syrian regime at the same time. An area where civilians can stay without any fear of being attacked and killed.
And you will do that with the Americans?
With Americans, with international community.
And will that also entail sending Turkish troops in there to protect that area?
I think at this moment, nobody wants to send ground troops.
They may not want to, but will it be necessary?
If there is enough power of moderate forces in Syria, there will not be any necessity for other countries, including Turkey, to send any ground troops.
Yeah, but
important thing is, your previous question, important is to support moderate Syrian elements inside Syria.
But at the moment, they're in a weak position, those moderate elements.
Yes, therefore, we have to strengthen them. This is a equip and train program, which we started in the United States.
You are not ruling out sending in ground troops then?
Of course, if there is a threat against Turkish interest, against our country, whoever attacks Turkey, of course, we will use all power, sometimes air force, sometimes other forces, to punish those who are attacking Turkey.
Listen carefully and you can even hear.
All right, this was a copy of the announcement from the Turkish government about the fact that they never help ISIS. Now, why, you know, they're talking about the refugees situation right now, and after they're saying that 300,000 were killed, which is enormous amount of people, if it's true, it's atrocious. It's because somebody whispered in the ear that there is might be, you know, a free zone, no flying zone, become a free zone, and then it's going to be dangerous for them. They were playing with both sides of the game, and they are not happy now because they know it might come to bite them. Just remember, you need to keep your light on, and you need to be on the right side of the moon. You need to always decide to go with God so your walk will be in the light. There is no going back and zigzagging because we said, okay, let's go be bad and then we come. You cannot come back to God every time. There is no. Sometimes you go so off and you throw yourself off the cliff. And we're saying, for metaphorically speaking, that for me, you know, be safe, please. I'm just saying, when people think that they can play with God's belief or the faith or God's laws of, you know, no killing, the Ten Commandments are the Ten Commandments. There are seven laws of Moses, you know, that of Noah, that says that you don't need to apply everything to yourself, you know, as the Ten Commandments. There are only seven, that's you. The rest is for the Jewish people, I guess, the three. We get more, of course. We got, you know, we need to get more work. Why should, you know, it be easy on us? So once you have the seven laws of Noah, you know that thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covenant, you know, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt, you know, don't put your name of God in vain. You have to remember that. Now, let's remind those to the Muslims that they are calling the name of God in vain constantly, constantly. And they are reminding the world that there is a God, of course, but you don't raise it constantly. You need to remember that you need to respect, that it must be kept holy. And especially when you got visitors on Temple Mount, like yesterday, I think. Yesterday, I hope it was yesterday, and it could have been fixed today or something. It was today. Member of the American Congress came to Temple Mount in Jerusalem. The place where is under Jordanian custodian, not ownership. They are only custody of the holy places, and that, you know, the holy mosque, because the rest of the Jewish places, is you know, they have no regards whatsoever. And they arrest the U.S. congressman on Temple Mount today. Just to show you guys that, you know, custody of the holy places needs to be like Senator Lindsey Graham was trying to pass in 2002 under jurisdiction of Israel. Because you need to be free to worship. If a member of Congress are coming to the Temple Mount and they don't care if you're Christian, if you're a Jew. As long as they are there, they call upon the name of God in vain, and they are doing so. So what do you think going to end up? You know, what do we know about that? We know the fact that every time you disregard the respect of God, it will be taken away from them. And it has nothing to do with Israel. It's stuff, don't think about, you know, willing or we take or we destroy. No, no. It's nothing to do. It's the game of the universe. When you are good, you can grow. You can flourish. When you are taking away stuff against the will of God, against the rule of God, God is going to win. Okay, so say it whatever way you want. God is going to win, and he has a God, you know, mighty universe that he can reign anytime he wants. So I don't know why they're thinking that they can control it, and they're sending the women. The women are arresting the people. They're screaming in their ears, you know. God is great. Yes, God is great, but need some respect of our holy places. So there. Guys, again, we're running out of our time today, Wednesday, Great Wednesday with Italian music. I know that you love Italy a little more. We love our new ambassador to Italy because she's fantastic. And we have a new show coming up on Sunday morning. It's going to be redemption time. Oh, hallelujah. This is Orly Betty Davis and with BBS Radio with the Impossible Truth. I salute you. I love you. And remember, there is a God and it's not us. God bless you all. Take care.